everyone. I'm Pastor Ann, bringing the message today about the parable of the wedding feast. This past July, we had a wedding in our family. This was a nephew from my husband's side of the family. And there was just lots of celebrating, lots of fun. People were having a great time together. People who hadn't seen each other for a while, meeting new people, new relatives from the other side of the family. And just dancing, music, food, great times. This was a really special wedding because it was outdoors on a ranch in the foothills of Alberta. And the bride and her dad rode in on horses. And they had to cross a creek in order to get to the wedding site. And it was just so romantic. Anyway, she was wearing her wedding gown, riding a horse. It was really beautiful. And so, yeah, weddings are amazing, aren't they? We enjoy getting together with family and friends and celebrating. Everybody's happy for the couple because they met each other and they're committing their lives to each other. The parents of the bride and the groom were both beaming with joy and happiness as well. But can you imagine what would happen if people who were invited just didn't want to come? They just weren't interested. So everything is set, the banquet, the food has been prepared, yet nobody would come. What a disaster that would be. So this morning we're going to talk about the parable of the wedding feast that Jesus told. And this is from the Gospel of Matthew. This is actually the last in our series on discovering the parables of Jesus. What is heaven like? And so this comes from Matthew 22, verse 1 to 14. Now, just to explain, a parable is actually a familiar story to help people understand an unfamiliar concept. All right, here's the parable. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention, and they went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" And that is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come now. We ask that you would come and open our hearts and our minds that we may understand what it is that you want us to understand this morning. We pray that you would enliven to us the word, the scriptures, and what they mean, and what this parable means to each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the theme, the theme and the goal of the message from this parable is the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, and you have been invited. Will you come? Does it surprise you that the king of heaven is like a banquet, a party, a big celebration? I must admit, I don't often think of the kingdom of heaven as a party or a celebration. think we often think that it's got to be a lot more serious than that. Also, we don't really know what to expect in heaven. Like, what is it going to be like? The Bible isn't really that clear on what we're going to be doing there. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to sing with the angels all day long. That sounds kind of boring. And so I'm sure that that is not what it's going to be like. But I just want to not talk so much about what heaven is going to be like, but that the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet. It's a huge royal wedding celebration. Now the king represents God, and the son who is getting married, I guess, in this parable, would be Jesus. Now, we don't want to take all of that too far, but just to understand what this parable means. So God, or the king, doesn't spare any expense. The wedding is going to be an extravagant, decadent affair. He has killed the fatted cattle, and he has spared no expense on the food. It's going to be good wine and lots of music, dancing, lots of people. Maybe some of you have seen a royal wedding, maybe on TV with Prince William and Kate, and you know the extravagance and the decadence of that wedding. People who were invited were dressed to the nines. It was just an incredible celebration. And Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. And you're invited. Will you come? So in this parable, we find that there are four possible responses to this invitation to the wedding. Now, the first group are the indifferent. They got the invitation, but they're totally uninterested. They couldn't care less, couldn't be bothered. One wants to go out into his field and work, the other to his business. What an insult to the king. Now, these people, the first group of people who were invited were most likely the religious insiders of the time, the Jewish people, probably the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the Jewish people in general. And yeah, they weren't interested. They just didn't want to come. So think about it. Have you spurned the Father's invitation through indifference? Many people do not know God because of lack of interest. They just don't care, or they just couldn't be bothered. When you turn away from God, and sometimes we don't do it consciously, we're just busy with life and just too busy to even think about what the kingdom of God is. But think about this. Maybe you're like the religious insiders, someone who has followed or gone to church all your life, and yet you haven't fully surrendered to Jesus. Have you said yes to the invitation, or are you still saying, nah, I'd rather live my life the way I want to live my life? But get this, no one can come to the banquet or the kingdom of heaven unless they have been called by God. No one can come unless they have been called by God. So we understand that there is an interplay between the call of God and the person's response. Those who experience God's grace and mercy in their lives know that it wasn't their own choice. It was God who chose them, who called them. And the thing is, God draws you in, and then you finally realize it. And then when you look back over your life, you see how God has been constantly pulling you and calling you in. And it's also not about when you want to come. It's not on your terms. When you think about it, if you're invited to a wedding feast, you're not going to say, well, I'm not ready to come right now. I'll come next week or next year or something like that. Well, that just isn't the way it's going to work, right? You can't just wait until it's convenient for you. God calls you and you come. The oxen and the fatted cattle have been butchered as it says in verse 4. Everything's ready, so don't wait. The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, and you have been invited. Will you come? The second group of people are the rebellious. So this is another group of people who the king sent other servants to remind them to come. They've had the invitation. Maybe they even responded that they would come. And now the servants are saying, hey, you need to come now. And they're saying, no. They seized the servants and they killed them, which seems really excessive. But when you think about it, that is what happened to a lot of the servants that were the disciples of Jesus when they went out to invite people to the banquet, so to speak. Many of them were persecuted and martyred for their faith. And it's still happening today. Christians are being persecuted and martyred for their faith and for inviting people to the banquet. Now, the king was very angry with those people who rejected his invitation, and they were killed. And you might think that's really excessive too. But if we reject God's invitation to the kingdom of heaven, then we will be crossed off the list. Think about this. This is the God who created the universe, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, the earth, everything in the solar system. And he calls each one of us. He calls each one of us by name. He knows each one of us. And when you are resisting that invitation, you are resisting the Almighty God, the God of all. And you say, no, I'd rather wait till it's convenient for me, or downright say no, or just couldn't be bothered. You have to think about who you are rejecting. Have you spurned the king's invitation through rebellion? There are many who know full well the king's invitation, but for whatever reason, they rebel against it. In so doing, they despise the riches of God's grace and store up for themselves God's righteous indignation. You know, we don't often want to talk about God's righteous indignation, but there is that side of God. There is love and there is justice. When we read in Romans 2, 4 to 5, this is what it says, God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. So the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, and you're invited. Will you come? Now the third group of people is everyone. So the king told other servants to go out to the highways and the byways of the city and to invite everyone in. He wanted his banquet hall filled with people. He wanted it to be a real party. You can't have a party without people to celebrate with. So the invitation to the kingdom was first extended to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And God, or anybody who is not Jewish, is actually a Gentile. So that includes all of us. And people do come, the good and the bad. Does that surprise you? Interesting, hey? So it's like going to a main thoroughfare in Edmonton. Let's think maybe the Anthony Henday and Gateway Boulevard. You think of all that traffic going through there and stopping the cars and saying, come to the banquet. That invitation is extended to everybody, regardless of ethnicity or economic standing or moral character. And then there's the fourth group. This is really interesting. I'm going to spend a little more time on this one. Those who are not properly attired. Now, this is really curious. The king sees the hall filled with people. Every seat is taken, but he spots one man who is not dressed properly. And we're probably thinking, what does it matter? He's just called in all these people, and why should it matter whether one of the guys isn't wearing a proper wedding clothes? But the king asks him, why are you not wearing wedding clothes? And you might think, well, he was just invited off the street. He didn't have any time to go home and change. But this man was speechless. He was totally speechless. He didn't know what to say. So the Greek word for speechless is phimo, that is to muzzle or put to silence. That's really interesting. So it's like this man just couldn't even say anything. There was no answer to the question. Well, this is really interesting. We know from other sources that the king would have provided the wedding clothes for everybody. And so they couldn't have the excuse to say, well, I didn't have time to go home and change, or I didn't have the proper clothing. And Jesus says, I will take anyone, but you can't come just as you are. You must wear the proper wedding clothing. So what is it about that? What is this thing about wedding clothes? Well, it is the righteousness of Christ. At God's infinite expense, he will take anyone, but your standing means nothing. You can come in not because you are worthy or you are fit to come in, but because you have been clothed in Christ's righteousness. So this symbolizes the difference between trusting in God for salvation or trusting in yourself for salvation. C.S. Lewis said this, there are only two kinds of people in the end, those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, thy will be done. Are you attired for the wedding banquet? Are you dressed properly? You know, many people seek to attend the wedding in apparel of their own choosing. People do this today when they expect salvation in terms different than what is taught in the scriptures, like trying to obtain salvation based on their own works, or trying to obtain salvation without repentance and obedience. You know, so many people think that everybody's going to go to heaven after they die and say, well, you know, he's a good person. He didn't really commit any of the major sins, like he didn't murder anybody, doesn't steal, helps his neighbor once in a while, gives to charity, and yeah, he's a good person. He'll go to heaven. But that is not what gets you into the kingdom. Jesus does. Jesus is saying here in this parable, no, that's not it at all. You are worthy to come only because I make you worthy. You're able to stay because you've been invited, but only if you wear the right clothing that I will provide for you. Are you willing to put on the right clothing, the righteousness of Christ? Being clothed in the righteousness of Christ means that when God sees you, he sees that Jesus forgave all your sins, and he does not see the sin that we have committed. So what does that mean? Paul Tripp, he has written a book, a devotion book called New Morning Mercies. And in one of the devotions of this past week, it was kind of interesting that it would be right when I was writing about being clothed in righteousness. He wrote this, Jesus lived the perfect life you and I never ever could have lived. And now his righteousness is credited to our account. He died the death that we should have died. His death satisfied the Father's anger with our sin. He rose again, conquering sin and death, so that we would know eternal life. All of this was done so that the chasm between us and God would be bridged, so that we would be fully and eternally accepted into God's family, never again to face God's rejection, never again to pay the penalty for our own sins, and free from having to measure up to God's standard in order to garner his love. What needed to be done, Jesus did. The work is complete. End of quote. So we must be willing to put on the apparel or the clothing that God gives us. We must put on Jesus Christ. Now you're probably wondering, how in the world do I do that? Well, one way, first and foremost, this involves clothing ourselves with Christ in our baptism. Galatians 3:26-27 says this, "So in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." Have you been clothed in Christ in baptism? If not, reach out to one of the pastors here, Pastor Victor, Pastor Une, Pastor Jeremiah, or myself, and talk about being baptized. Also, we must put on the new nature. That's another aspect of being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Paul applies the figure of putting, Paul, that is the Apostle Paul, applies the figure of putting on a garment to the development of Christian conduct and character. And he writes about that in Colossians 3. He says that we're to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature, our old nature, rid ourselves of anger, rage, malice, filthy language, idolatry, etc. And then in verse 12 to 14 of Colossians 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So do we wish to be found at the wedding feast, adorned with the apparel of the old nature, or are you going to put on the new nature, the clothing of the righteousness of Christ? The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet. Will you come? You know, people often say, well, I don't believe in a God of wrath. I believe God will save everybody anyways in the end. God will accept people just as they are. Well, that is not what Jesus is saying here in this parable at all. You see, God doesn't love unconditionally, but he loves counterconditionally. That means God loves everyone, but God loves them so much that he will not leave them the way they are. People must be clothed with the righteousness of Christ in order to enter the banquet, the kingdom of heaven. So how do you know if you've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ? Well, are you filled with joy and wonder and awe? You see, salvation is a free gift from God. We are sinful, broken people, yet by God's grace we're saved on account of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Are you changed because of the mercy and the grace of God in your life? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "He, that is God the Father, made him, that is Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." You see, if Jesus actually stood in my place and bore my sin on the cross, as the Bible teaches, then I can never be punished for that sin. That is the good news. That is what the celebration is about. That's what the banquet is about. You know, for myself, I was kind of like that man that wore his own clothes to the wedding banquet and thought that he could stay. I thought that, you know, I controlled my own life and that I did all this good stuff for God. And I figured that God owed me, that God owed me a good life, because look what I did for him. And that by my own merit, my own good works, I would get into heaven. Well, I was totally wrong. And one day, God brought me to my knees and helped me to realize my mistake, my wrong thinking. And I cried and cried and cried. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, for thinking it was my works that saved me. And, you know, I worked very hard. It was my performance that I was thinking that God owed me for. Boy, was I ever wrong. I had all of my motives totally messed up. God turned everything around for me. And then I started to realize that God loved me and he was not going to leave me the way I was in my self-righteousness. And God built me up again. And I could see that my worth and my identity was in Christ and not in what I did or in my own self. I could accept the grace of God and know that, yeah, I'm invited to the banquet. And I definitely said yes. You see, every other religion is about merit and about good works. But in Christianity, the good news is that Jesus is the one who has done it all for us. We are saved by God's grace and mercy, not our own merit. So the thing is, maybe you feel the same way that I did, that you're working so hard for God and doing all this, and that God owes you, and that you need to stop complaining about your life when things aren't going the way you think they should. But pray that God will help you to accept his mercy and to fill you with joy and wonder for what he has done for you. Or maybe you're thinking, well, the things that I have done are so terrible that God will never forgive me. Well, know that Jesus died for you as well. And pray that God will help you to feel that joy, that awe, and that wonder for what he has done for you. The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, and you're invited. Will you come wearing the righteousness of Christ? The invitation or the call of God is extended to many, but few receive it in such a way as to be among the chosen. I'm going to conclude with this. There is one passage in the book of Revelation that is talks about the kingdom of heaven and also what it means to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It's Revelation 7, 9 to 10 and 13 to 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" And I answered him, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will there be any hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That is what it's like to be in that banquet, that kingdom of heaven, and you get there by wearing the right wedding garb, the righteousness of Christ, like these white robes dipped in the blood of the Lamb, because he died for you. And you will be filled with joy and wonder and awe and worship the Almighty God. The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, and you have been invited. Will you come dressed in the righteousness of Christ? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you have invited us to the wedding feast, to the kingdom of heaven. We ask that you would help us to see that it is not by our own merit that we're invited, but it is by the righteousness of Christ who died on the cross for us. Thank you that in Christ there is no difference between people, that all are one in you. There's no Jew or Gentile, no slave or free, no female or male. We are all accepted and invited by you, the King of the universe. Forgive us when we think that our good works can take the place of your free gift of salvation, and when we don't allow your joy and celebration to be part of our lives. Help us to accept your mercy and your grace. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.